Yeah, and lots to talk about before we head into the weekend on a wonderful Friday. Take your phone calls and your text messages at 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. Right now, I want to talk about this case we've brought up in the past. It has to do with Google and Twitter and ISIS. And there was a ruling yesterday that basically says that companies cannot be held liable for ISIS attacks. And that's what we heard from the U.S. Supreme Court, ruling in favor of both Google and Twitter, Kevin. And families of these terror attack victims, they had sued these platforms because those platforms allowed ISIS-promoted content on things like Twitter and on Google. And they're like, listen, there's got to be some culpability here by the platforms.
Yeah, if you were hoping the Supreme Court would rein in the powerful social media companies, then you're probably disappointed. The court declined to hold Google and Twitter responsible for content posted by their users, leaving the issue of content moderation and liability unresolved. So there's more to talk about here. It's not over and done with necessarily, but they did not step in and rein in the power of these social media companies. Let's bring in Todd Flood, attorney with Flood Law. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm great.
Appreciate you being here. In layman terms, can you explain what happened here?
Yeah, it's really quite simple. Justice Thomas wrote the majority opinion, and he quite simply pointed out that the Google and YouTube and the others, they were passive. They weren't active participants in aiding and abetting these attacks that took place. And because they were passive, they in turn can't be held accountable or responsible for the content that was put out by a third party. He did point out that it is disturbing and that the fact that these algorithms have poignant pieces that go to, if you go to a cooking shop or a cooking show on YouTube, you're going to start seeing more cooking advertising and the like on your computer and on your YouTube. When you see people killing people and ISIS soliciting you to kill people, you're going to get, through this algorithm, more, you know, of those ads and of those videos. So that being disturbing, they really said, hey, this is an algorithm. They're not a publisher. They're just simply a platform. And that platform makes them passive participants, doesn't raise the bar to having them aid and abet the ISIS killers. So it Section 230, and I'm so glad you guys are covering it, because this is a very hot topic in our country as everyone is using social media. And when you see, and I have a case, and we talked about it before, where a young boy committed suicide in Chicago, and he was targeted on social media, and basically, in, you know, in so many words, told to kill himself. And that platform was used to just basically give those messages to the young boy. Here, as you see it in everyday life, how many times have you pulled up, you know, your Twitter accounts or your YouTube accounts, and you're being fed information? At what point does it become they're no longer passive, but they're actually active participants? That's going to be the big question, and stripping away the immunity that these big companies have, that's basically shielding them from ever being sued.
What do you think the takeaway will be for big tech social media? Is their takeaway going to be, hey, look, now we can do whatever we want and this emboldens them? Or do they get a message that says we should do more to protect people, or we could lose this valuable 230 protection that shields us from lawsuits?
I think, candidly, it's all about the money. What is it that could damage their pockets? So I think there will be a case, maybe not today, tomorrow, but sometime down the future, that sits on a fact pattern that could potentially hold them liable and strip them of this immunity. And then, no pun intended, but the floodgates would be open to potential lawsuits. So I believe that they're going to they got a huge victory yesterday, but I believe that they're going to figure a way to make sure that they can't in the future be held accountable for publishing ads or publishing content. And however they think to do that without exposing themselves to liability is what they will do, because it's all about cash. It's all about making sure that they don't have endless door or endless cases coming at them for lawsuits. That's my thought anyway, because they're for-profit companies. They're not a nonprofit. They're for-profit. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to get hit. And this is a big thing in our political spectrum as well. I mean, there's been the huge debate of social platforms not putting up politicians or trying to strip politicians of what they can put on social media and how they can take, you know, those ads and content down. So this is applaud to you guys, because you guys have been following this. It's a big matter that has major consequences down the road, because we are moving so fast to everything being on your phone or your watch or on your computer, right?
Yeah, everything's going to be there. And there's no doubt that, you know, YouTube, Twitter, they steer people to certain content based on what they think they're going to enjoy and watch. So there is some type of coercion, if you want to call it manipulation, that goes on there. So then how does this work legally and logically? YouTube and Twitter, they cannot be held liable in this case. But then you got Fox News and you got CNN, and they can be held liable. We saw that with the Dominion case against Fox News and that $787 billion settlement. Why the difference? Why is there a legal difference between those two entities?
Tom, that's a great question. So, and takes a little bit to delve into, but here with a with the CNN and or Fox News or whatever, however they do it, media outlet you're talking about, the culpability there is that they were actually publishing and disseminating. They weren't a passive participant. They were an active participant. At least, you know, these are not my words, as you would hear. This was the court's words. They were active participants. So the distinguishing factor there that you can see is, one, you got a platform. That platform is a computer of some sort, and you can download your stuff, and an algorithm puts out the information for you to see solicitations of ads. You have a media outlet over here, and you have human beings actually participating in the publishing of content. So the difference, the distinction there is one is active, one is passive.
Yeah, technically that's it. Section 230, a big part of that. We always appreciate your perspective on this. And thanks for joining us again. Todd Flood, you're great. Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Appreciate it, Todd. More to come, 760 WJR. Thanks.